Welcome to Barely Audible Whisper, a weekly NPR parody podcast in no way associated with NPR, brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
The President Donald Trump Legal Defense Fund, because even Donald Trump deserves better lawyers than this.
The Legal Defense Fund for the legal defense of Donald Trump, because Donald Trump's legal defense is so illegal, his legal defense now needs legal defense.
And the Jared Kushner Legal Defense Fund, because we all know his ass is next.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Molly. And our barely audible whispers are significantly more audible than a screaming Ivanka Trump.
This has been a historically dumb week in the news. So many dumb things have happened in such a short period of time that the USA Today is no longer capable of dumbing the news down.
In fact, the news itself has taken on the structure of a how dumb is it joke.
For example, Paul Manafort is dumb.
How dumb is he?
Paul Manafort is so dumb that he violated a gag order and the conditions of his bail on charges of international money laundering, failure to register as a foreign agent, and conspiracy against the United States government, all to secretly ghostwrite an editorial with a Kremlin-connected Russian intelligence agent that they plan to publish under a fake name.
The fact that Manafort risks not only the legal consequences, but also the appearance of guilt that resulted in such a flagrant violation of his bail, simply to publish an editorial under a pseudonym, begs the question, how good could that editorial possibly have been?
Barely Audible Whisper obtained a copy of the unpublished editorial, transcribed by a man who identified himself only as definitely not Paul Manafort.
I am. Paul Manafort is definitely, totally, seriously, 100%, completely not guilty. The thousands of pages of financial records that indicate me, Manafort, in multiple money laundering schemes are actually the result of my, Manafort's hobby of moving billions of dollars in and out of various shell corporations and shady bank accounts just for fun. I know. Manafort knows that it's strange, but...
I know that he is strange. He is first-person opinion. You do not need to change to Manafort knows.
Thank you, not Russian friend who is in no way connected to the KGB. As I... Manafort was saying...
You did it again! As I was saying, is first-person transitional statement.
The point is that I move money around to pass the time because I'm sad and lonely.
No, Manafort is sad and lonely in the third person. We are making up first-person pseudonym. We might as well make it a popular, happy, married pseudonym with lots of friends.
No, I'm only lonely because women are intimidated by my good looks.
The pseudonym is good-looking?
No, Paul Manafort is good-looking.
Either your delusional pseudonym is blind.
Women are attracted to eyes that droop solo, that each eye has its own jowl.
There is nothing attractive about eye jowls. Your eyelids look like twin busts of Richard Nixon.
My eye jowls mark the masculine mystique of a face so strong it can hold up 2 5-pound eyelids.
Please don't write that down. Just finish the editorial.
In conclusion, Paul Manafort is as innocent as he is handsome. Signed, definitely not Paul Manafort.
That is incredible dumb news.
A whistleblower has come forward detailing a text message Michael Flynn sent to his business partner on Inauguration Day, stating that they were personally going to make a bunch of money on a shady Russian nuclear deal and by lifting Russian sanctions. Barely Audible Whisper obtained a copy of that text message.
Money symbol, smiley face emoji, money symbol, winking smiley face emoji, money symbol, poop emoji, American flag.
In other dumb news, after President Trump accidentally confessed to obstruction of justice in a careless tweet, his lawyers are now arguing that the president cannot obstruct justice. They are apparently citing, as legal precedent, the dystopian sci-fi premise expressed in Judge Dredd, "I am the law."
Here to explain further is President Trump. As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman, because we hear it bothers him.
When I tweeted that I knew General Flynn lied to the FBI when I fired him, I meant that I knew that at the time of the tweet about the time I fired him, not at the time I fired him.
What about the idea that the president cannot obstruct justice?
the president cannot obstruct justice because the president is the president of the Justice Department, and you cannot obstruct something if you are the president of the thing. The real obstruction of justice is the Democrats who obstruct the Trump agenda, which is obstruction of justice because I am the president of justice.
In more dumb news, the Supreme Court upheld President Trump's Muslim travel ban.
Wrong. Fake news. The Muslim travel ban bans the travel of Muslims, but it is not a Muslim travel ban because it does not ban all of the travel on all of the Muslims. It specifically bans only the Muslims from the Muslim countries that don't have a Trump hotel.
And in the same week they upheld the travel ban on Muslims, the Supreme Court also heard arguments in the case of a Christian baker who claims the First Amendment protects his right not to bake gay wedding cakes on the grounds of religious liberty.
If successful, the baker's case would legally endow Christian bakers with more religious liberty to not bake a cake than Muslims have to travel freely.
While taken together, this may seem discriminatory against Muslims and homosexuals, but as our resident historian will explain, Muslims and homosexuals have historically never been oppressed. But history is rife with tragic examples of forced Christian cake baking.
The history of forced Christian cake baking begins in the aftermath of the Last Supper, when Judas, who missed dessert while he was out betraying Jesus, paid Romans 30 pieces of silver to force the Apostle Matthew to bake him a death by chocolate. The next known instance of forced Christian cake baking also occurred during the Roman Empire. While it is well known that Romans would feed Christians to the lions at the Colosseum, it is lesser known that the Romans forced Christians not fed to the lions to bake hot cross buns for the lions to enjoy as an after-Christian treat. And during the Crusades, Christians were forced to bake cakes for the children who went on the Children's Crusades in order to trick children into going on the Children's Crusades.
What a dumb week.
In an effort to get President Trump to curtail some of his anti-news rhetoric, some members of his staff, who prefer to remain anonymous, have created a game show exclusively for the president.
The theory is that by turning news consumption and evaluation into a game, they will appeal to the orange man-child's obsession with winning above all else.
The game is called Good News, Old News, Fake News, and Barely Audible Whisper was able to get an exclusive access to the first contest.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear he hates that.
We will now play our recording of the game.
Hello, I'm Del Toydman, a macho type whose authority Trump will respect, and this is Good News, Old News, Fake News. Let's meet our contestants. He's the President of the United States, the POTUS, the big man himself, with large hands, great hair, and impeccable judgment, Donald Trump!
Thank you, Del. I've always respected you. I'm about to win this game, like I won the Electoral College and the Super Bowl. I have a ring to prove it.
Thank you, Mr. President. That was really well said.
I know.
The second contestant is the Attorney General, Mr. Jeff Sessions.
I don't recall how this game works.
It's brand new. I'll explain shortly. Our third contestant is the First Lady, Donald Trump's wife, Melania.
Thank you for putting someone between my husband and me, even if it has to be that smelly elf man.
We thought you'd want that. Here's how the game works. I will read a headline. You will have three choices: good news, old news, or fake news. This is not a matter of opinion. For our definition of old news, it must be at least 5 years old. You get one guess for each headline. If you guess wrong, the other contestants will have a chance to steal.
Got it. I understand the rules first. I'm going to win.
First headline: many powerful men are sexually inappropriate with people under their power.
Fake news.
That is incorrect.
Depends on who you ask.
No, it does not. Mr. Sessions, Mrs. Trump, would you like to steal?
Good news.
You think it's good news that men use their power to harm others?
I do not recall.
One answer left. Melania?
This is old news, It has been happening forever.
That is correct. 1 point for the first lady.
Good job. That's my wife, you know.
And she is now winning.
I'm winning.
No, your wife has a point, and you have zero.
I don't like her now. May I have a new wife, please?
That is not in my power. Next headline. 130% of scientists deny climate change.
Good news.
No.
Old news.
Climate change denial may be old news, but I think the clue for this one is the fact that it is impossible for 130% of scientists to do anything. Jeff Sessions, would you like to steal with the only remaining answer?
I do not recall any stealing that may or may not have occurred.
All you have to do is say the one remaining answer available. It's one of the president's favorite phrases.
I do not recall ever hearing the president say a phrase.
Fine. No points awarded this round. Next and final headline. During Obama presidency...
Old news.
Please wait until the end of the headline. And I remind you that to qualify as old news, it must be at least 5 years old. During Obama presidency, Dow Jones more than doubled.
Fake news.
Incorrect.
I do not recall any president who may or may not have been named Obama.
No, you are finished and have earned no points. Would anyone like to steal?
Is it old news?
No. While the Obama presidency feels like ages ago, it in fact ended earlier this year. President Trump, you can steal. If you choose the only remaining answer, you will advance to the final round. If not, your wife will win. I remind you, your wife is a woman. Can you deal with losing to a woman? Or instead, will you admit that the economic improvement during the Obama presidency is...
good news.
That is correct! Congratulations, Mr. President! We have a good news, old news, fake news showdown between Mr. and Mrs. Trump.
I won.
No, there is one more question to break the tie. Whoever gets this right will be the winner. Mr. President, I'd like to take this moment to point out how you won your first point. You heard the headline, waited until you had more information, and then made the logical decision. That was very good.
I did good.
The showdown gets a little tricky, as there are two appropriate answers. The headline is, "The Nazis Lost."
Fake news.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Melania, please give me some faith in humanity.
Old news?
We would have also accepted and preferred good news, but you are correct. You win. I've been waiting a long time to say this. Donald Trump, you lose.
Fake news.
End it. This was pointless. God damn it.
It is Christmas season, that time of year when Christmas carols can be heard almost everywhere you go.
It has also become sexual harassment season, in which sexual harassment news has become as hard to escape as Christmas carols.
The fusion of sexual harassment and Christmas carols has reignited the debate over the song Baby It's Cold Outside, which has been criticized in recent years for the sexually predatory lyrics of the man in the song.
Last year, a singer-songwriter duo changed the lyrics so that a man accommodates the woman's rejections. But their version sucks, so Barely Audible Whisper did our own rewrite.
I really can't stay.
How about sex before you go?
I've gotta go away.
It's a simple question, yes or no.
This evening has been...
I guess that means no.
So very nice.
You do not have to tell me twice.
I ought to say no, no, no,
one
sir.
No is plenty, also don't call me
At
sir.
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
I'm confused by your use of try.
I wish I knew how.
Just take an Uber
to
or Lyft.
To break the
just go, your signals are way too mixed.
My sister will be suspicious.
I'm troubled by the word suspicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
By now it's weird you're here anymore.
I really must go.
No disagreement here.
The answer is no.
Thank you for making that clear.
My mother will start to worry.
Why bring up your mom at this stage?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Holy shit, are you underage?
So really, I'd better scurry.
This is gross, I feel like
maybe
Roy Moore.
Just a half a drink more.
Show me some ID before I pour.
Neighbors might think.
Get out.
Sick.
Hey, what's in this drink?
It's just Sprite. Now, seriously, get out.
But
I don't care if it's cold outside.
At 1:30 a.m. last Saturday morning, the Senate passed their tax reform legislation. And like most things people do at 1:30 a.m. on a Saturday, it is shameful and disgusting.
In fact, on a relative scale of regrettable 1:30 on a Saturday morning behavior, the Senate tax reform bill is the equivalent to the entire American economy chasing tequila shots with lines of cocaine snorted off the ass of underage hookers.
And Roy Moore isn't even a senator yet.
The bill, which will throw 13 million people off of their health insurance, raise the effective tax rate on the poor and middle class, and increase the national debt by $1 trillion, all to the enormous benefit of the wealthiest fraction of Americans, was put up for a vote before it was even finished being written, and its final version included pages of illegible hand-scribbled notes.
Barely Audible Whisper obtained a recording of last night's closed-door meeting in which Republicans crafted their last-minute changes to the bill.
The entire recording is literally just hours of Bond villain laughter.
Three entire pages of the bill contain nothing but the eerie repetition of the phrase, "All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy."
Like every Friday night whose bad decisions bleed into Saturday morning, Senate Republicans awoke late Saturday morning, queasy in the nausea of hungover consequences.
What did we do last night?
Did we increase the deficit by $1 trillion?
Shit, I think so. Last thing I remember, we were eliminating deductions for teachers to recoup money that they spend out of pocket on school supplies for their students, so billionaires don't have to pay taxes on their unearned inheritances. There's no way that math adds up. So yeah, I guess $1 trillion sounds about right.
Oh my god, what is this bill we passed? When do we abandon the appearance of integrity and just start scribbling in the margins?
I think it was when we wrote in a tax exemption specifically for one small fundamentalist Christian college supported by the billionaire DeVos family.
Jesus Christ, what do we do?
That's actually the name of the college. The University of Jesus Christ, what did we do?
Page 417 is just drawn in crayon.
That's the clause eliminating the capital gains tax. The stick figure is a stockbroker, and he's smiling because the green rectangles towering up to the frowny-faced yellow sun are stacks of money.
Why is the sun frowning?
That's the clause that raises the tax on solar energy.
I don't even want to know why page 438 is a matted mess of abstract smears of color.
It's finger paint.
I'm gonna be sick.
And it's a good thing you make six figures, otherwise we took your healthcare away.
We cut healthcare with a finger painting?
Of course not. That would be insensitive. We cut healthcare with an etch-a-sketch.
Oh, well, be careful not to shake it.
The finger paint is for oil pipelines. See how the black smears cover up the red? We're going to stop wasting time building pipelines and just pour crude oil directly on Native Americans' reservations.
Oh, I just spilled my coffee on the bill. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. That may just be the best addition to the bill so far. That coffee stain isn't a coffee stain. That coffee stain is a tax on coffee shops, organic tofu, NPR parody podcasts, and all the other crap liberals like.
Is it possible the reason we're so anti-government is because we're terrible at governing?
Pages of handwritten notes in the margins of the Senate tax bill were not the only sign that the Trump administration was taking tax reform less seriously than a drunken trust fund frat boy takes an 8 a.m. class.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has spent 8 months answering questions about the tax bill by repeatedly referring to a report by repeating the exact same reassuring phrase, quote, we have a team of hundreds of experts working around the clock.
After repeating the claim about the hundreds of experts working on the report hundreds of times, there is not only no evidence of a report, there is no evidence of even a single expert.
Mnuchin cannot even prove the existence of a clock.
While Mnuchin did find time to waste taxpayer money on a trip to Fort Knox to show off gold to his wife and pose with his wife with pictures of sheets of money, Mnuchin still hasn't found any time to do any actual work.
How is it possible that after hundreds of around-the-clock promises of hundreds of experts working around the clock, there is no work, no experts, and no clock?
Barely audible whispers and an investigative team on an investigation to investigate.
It all started in April when Secretary Mnuchin received some bad news from his team of around-the-clock experts.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mnuchin, but even under implausibly favorable economic conditions, this plan will increase the national deficit by $100 trillion.
Did you say 100 trillion?
Great work, hundreds of experts working around the clock. Mentioning the sum of $1 trillion has made my gold-digging wife horny.
But the tax bill still sucks.
I don't care. I'm gonna have sex with my wife while she's turned on by the concept of money. Usually it's very expensive for a man as sexually unappealing as I am to make a woman horny.
Tell me again about how your tax plan benefits the wealthy and punishes the poor. I get so turned on when you reverse Robin Hood.
You hundreds of experts stay in this room working around the clock and don't come out until you figure out how to make this tax plan sound good.
Unfortunately, the team of hundreds of experts working around the clock took the order to stay in the room and work around the clock entirely too literally. And as a result of working around the clock in such close proximity to hundreds of people working around the clock, hundreds of them died.
Having hundreds of experts working around the clock allows me the free time to reverse Robin Hood my wife.
Hundreds is the official number being released by the Treasury Department because those hundreds of experts were the only experts with enough expertise to certify an official death toll in the hundreds.
Put on your green hat and pick up your bow and arrow and shoot the butler, you sexy sheriff of Nottingham.
Unfortunately, reverse Robin Hood is more than just a metaphor for the Republican tax plan. It is also a sex game Mnuchin and his wife play involving a green hat, a bow and arrow, and the murder of one of their servants.
Steer from the porn and give it to my wife.
Buy me something.
Meanwhile, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin did not have time to check in on his hundreds of experts no longer working around the clock because he is ugly. So he had to abuse his position to make his wife horny.
Ow! I hurt myself jumping onto this pile of gold.
I told you, darling, the gold here at Fort Knox is barred and stacked on pallets. You can't swim in it like Scrooge McDuck.
Buy me something.
In Washington, Secretary Mnuchin was going to check in on his hundreds of experts no longer working around the clock. But his wife wanted to pose for pictures with money. And Mnuchin hadn't gotten any less ugly.
Paper money is gold made out of paper, so I can swim in it.
I love you, darling.
I love you too, money.
Meanwhile, nobody had discovered that the hundreds of experts working around the clock were no longer working around the clock because they had died. Because the office of hundreds of experts working around the clock was located in a building that had been occupied by EPA scientists, and all of the EPA scientists were fired.
The report from hundreds of experts working around the clock is due tomorrow, and I haven't heard anything from the hundreds of experts working around the clock.
Buy me something.
Not now, darling. This is serious.
More serious than our marriage? More serious than my love of your money? And your love of how horny your money makes me?
I'm sorry, darling, but I have to get back to my report from hundreds of experts working around the clock. Why don't you come with, and I'll buy you something on the way home.
You better, or with God as my witness, I will never be horny again.
Fortunately for Mnuchin, the sight of hundreds of dead, underpaid experts made his wife horny again and saved his marriage. Equally fortunate for Mnuchin, no one seemed to care that there was no report, no experts, and no clock. And the Senate passed the tax bill without any evidence from anyone that any good might come from it.
Thank you guys for listening to Barely Audible Whisper, a NPR parody podcast. Our writer and co-host Dave Baldwin, co-host Molly Brown, writer and actor Daniel Carter Brown, actors Robin Ward, Emily Sams Brown, Corey Burns, Michael J. Morgan, Shelley Schmalls.
Yes.
Great. And special thanks to Charles Isliss for equipment and advice. And I am the sound engineer / producer, Joshua Milkirk. They've known me for years and still don't know my last name. Oh, also follow us on Facebook and subscribe to us on our podcast using your podcast app or just iTunes if you don't know what a podcast is.
Thank you.